You are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down seeking to get ejected for targeting as we stiff arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham, John Spears, and Luke Kreger. In this episode, John laments his head-to-head record versus Joe and passionately picks against him for his Week 8 pick. We review the game of the week, which is the only matchup of the 2024 season decided by less than 1 point. Levi reviews the power rankings, which is highlighted by two teams falling 3 spots in the standings. And the mailbag gets ugly as an argument breaks out about Baked Bo Baggins with John in disbelief that me and Levi still like Baker, even with Godwin and Evans out. Let's get into it. All right, CFL super nerds. You know how we do this. We're going to take a look back at last week. And we're going to start with the game of the week, which featured It's What Plants Crave, who took on the Purple Bleeders. And so Levi goes into Monday night down 14 points, but he has Trey McBride going for the Cardinals. And Levi was sweating this one out, as McBride didn't secure the W for Levi until late in the game. And Levi, during the night, in fact, I looked it up on my phone at 11:16 p.m., Levi texts out, "Finally, I can go to bed." So not until well after 11 p.m. did he get this one locked up. But it was a pretty good week overall for the Plants. Jahmyr Gibbs drops a 50-burger. J.J., Pickens, and Goff pretty much do the rest here. Lance also had decent performances for the most part, but was let down by Jaden Reed only getting 4 points and Ray-Ray McCloud only getting 5.8. In the end, Levi gets just enough to win 212 to 211, which is the league's first one-point game of the season. But nobody's feeling sorry for Lance here, as his mouth has been writing checks that his team can't cash lately. Levi, how good did it feel to take down the league prima donna?
It's pretty good, although I was a little sleepy on Tuesday. You know, having to stay up for which I couldn't even watch that game because it was on ESPN Plus. So I was just staring at my phone while like every touchdown was happening in the other game. It was a little frustrating, but yeah, this is a big boy match. I've had a few of these this year, and I've been lucky enough to win those close games. You know, this is bring your lunch pail, you know, kind of game. Pretty excited to see George Pickens get some big catches. So, like, feels good to have another good wide receiver. And I was lucky enough to pick up Russell Wilson. So he's going to be a big plug-in. I think my team came out, like, pretty good this week to look for the next couple weeks. So I'm very happy to win this one. And, you know, so that sucks for the Bleeders, you know. What are you going to do, you know?
Laugh.
Yeah.
Hey, look at Lance's bench. He had no more moves to make. Nothing. He could not. It was 0-0-0-0-0-0. And Lamb's on by. So, like, to get that close had to be frustrating. You know, like, this is a week you hope you kind of steal one. And he falls short by less than a point. Tough break, Lancey Pooh.
Yep. Yeah, and that was the game of the week. I mean, and really, like I said, it came down late Monday night. So 1 point difference there brought some drama for sure. All right, the next matchup we're going to look at is Slop Nasty. You took on Scoop's Troop. And this was another close one, mostly because Jason gets 2 goose eggs in his lineup, Cortland Sutton and Debo. And then Sam Laporta only gets 6 points. However, Barkley and Hall continue to have huge games, and they did in this one as well, which will continue to bode well for Jason moving forward. But for Jeff, he continues to get elite QB play from Bakebo and had a nice play with Tank Bigsby as he goes for nearly 38 points himself. Throw in Bijan with 40 and DK with 30, and that was enough to beat Jason. Again, on a week where he gets 2 zeros, good game here as both teams are still in the playoff hunt. Levi, if you had to take one of these two teams right now to make a playoff run at this point, who would you take?
I think both seem pretty good. Although, like, the thing is with Bakebo, though, is he lost a few of his... He lost his Gimli and he lost his Legolas. You know,
he sure did. Yeah.
So,
I was like, why are y'all calling him Bankbo? It's like, what is this nigga?
You forgot already?
Yeah.
Stupid thing.
Game-o.
But yeah, this could be a little bit taper off from Baker. You know, because the slops were getting like it was house money having Baker in the 16th round, just like an extra player.
Yeah.
And now I think Baker's still gonna be good. He's still starting quarterback. And there's plenty of points to be had, but he just lost, you know, Mike Evans for 3 weeks and Godwin for the rest of the year. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. This just hit me, and I did not think about this till now. And I was thinking about because he had a good one last week, but this is going to benefit Rashad White.
Yeah.
Think gonna, about that. They're going to throw to him in the backfield a lot. Yeah.
Or Bucky Irvin.
Or
but Rashad White had a bunch of catches last week.
Yeah, no, if
you're owner of one of those guys, you're probably happier than you were
Rob.
That game.
And then Jason got a little unlucky. Debo got pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
yeah, that was...
I think he'll be back.
Yeah,
I think he's... So, I feel like they should have just, you know, sat him. Like, they knew he was sick going in there and really hurt. Debo's fantasy owners,
yeah,
just having him go in there. And I think he played like two snaps and he came out.
Yeah,
So that I think that was really unlucky for Jason. None of his other players got hurt. He still got Saquon and Breece. Like, those two players are gonna win in weeks.
I think Jason's fine. You know, you lose a game because a player should have been out. You know, he may have won that game. You know, if that didn't happen,
yeah.
So it's a brutal loss for Jason, but a good win for Jeff. Both these teams are probably in the playoffs, if I have to guess.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Until further notice.
Yeah. No, I think I asked that because I think they're both very similar. Mm-hmm. I could see either one really making a run, but just thought it might be an interesting thought there. Okay, moving on. We've got another matchup, and this was a pretty good one, and that was Black Sunday. I took on Rob, the Steamers, and this one could have been the game of the week, really. But Derrick Henry, boy, he had other plans as he goes off for 45 points, which really ruined any chance for me of pulling out the win late in the matchup. Also, Rob gets another nice game from Najee Harris, and Rashad White returns from injury to put up 40 points of his own. For me, Joe Mixon continues to impress at Houston. And my QBs perform well, but Mike Evans, man, he gets knocked out of the game. He did get a touchdown before he got knocked out, but he was actually knocked out while attempting to catch what would have been his second touchdown. And so that one hurt me a little bit. And then Deontay Johnson disappoints as he only gets 4. And then Cook had a below-average game as well. So Rob gets the victory here, 244 to 202, and remains alone in first place. Either way, the hacksaws are hotter than the hinges on the gates of hell, and we're primed to dominate the league moving forward. Levi, do you agree?
I mean, one of you has a losing record. So
what does that got to do with anything?
I mean, so, like, I'd say one of you all is dominating right now.
Yeah.
Well, like, that was a close game. I'm not even going to say Derrick Henry, like, was the reason. Like, he's just going to get those points. The other two running backs are what did it for Rob. Rob White getting 40 is insane.
That's like, killer.
I don't think anybody could predict that. Like, and Najee Harris, I've never seen him run that well. Maybe it's more the Jets than him, but, like, he's putting on, like, his, like, best year ever.
Yeah,
so far.
I agree.
So he can keep that up. Like, Rob started off with his wide receivers being like the reason he was winning, and now it's running backs. So he's finding different ways to win.
Rob's on roller skates.
He's Mr. Magoo and all everybody all over this league.
Receivers get traded to a better situation. Both of them. He gets Rashad White. Gets benefit of the two injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to him. Like, I mean, he set Cooper, which I was kind of like, dang on. But it looks like Wright was the right play. Definitely. I'm kind of pulling for Rob at this point to keep winning. You don't want to, keep it in the middle, keep it in the mix for everybody. So keep on winning, Rupert.
Yeah, and I think you will. So there's that one. All right, the next matchup we've got is the Intoxicated All-Stars took on Farewell to Hope. And so on this one, it's got to be said, John, because last week you passionately declared on the podcast that you were going to, quote, beat the brakes off of Joe. All right. You got to own that. And that your team was officially back. All right. Well, looks like your team wasn't up for the challenge here, bud. And more bad luck for you as you had to deal with Jaden Daniels getting knocked out of the game as well. And also, Tariq Hill gets just 3.6 points, and Xavier Leggett wasn't much better. But the good news for you is that Tua is coming back this week, which should greatly boost your team. But for Joe, he gets good performances pretty much across the board for the most part and holds on for a 197 to 152 victory. So Joe also now raises his record against John to 8-0. Levi, will John ever beat Joe in fantasy football?
Who knows?
I mean, this is an anomaly.
This could turn into like a college record.
8-0.
It's like Joe's gonna have to fire his coaches once he loses to you.
Yeah.
So is this a little rough? Like more bad luck. I think it was kind of against you from the beginning, but like this is your week to come back and put up some points next week. I just don't like that Joey's like, he's probably got a huge head right now, just, you know, thinking he's the best.
I don't blame him. I mean, I'm 0-8. Like, 0-8. Like, I'm not saying Jaden Daniels playing, I would have won, but he might have had 50 that game.
Yeah, he did.
And if he
good
did,
start.
I probably would. Oh, my God. He had a 50-yard run at the end of the game.
They scored 40 with Mariota.
Right. So I'm like,
true. Yeah.
Like, it's stuff like that. It takes me out of fantasy, to be honest. Like, just all these injuries, like, I just don't care. Like, and now getting them back, I'm kind of excited again. So hopefully everybody stays healthy. I don't know if there's more injuries this year, if it's just you feel that way when, you know, you're seeing your team. But I know everybody's been dealing with it. But
yeah.
Loss or no loss, 8-0-8, that's unacceptable.
That's
embarrassing.
You got
like that bothers me more than most things. Is like to be dominated. That sucks. I hate you, Joey. But when I win, though,
Joey is smiling from ear to ear right now, listening to this. You better believe it.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got still. Look, this is the exact midway point right here as we sit. So we've got another whole half of the season left that can completely flip the script here. So nobody should get too down unless maybe you're Amanda. But other than that, we're going to wrap this part of the show up. And we're going to move into the Whoopin' of the Week next.
Ladies and gents, the time you've all been waiting for with our final matchup between Derek Whooping Broker Basham and Amanda Shelley again. Really sorry, Amanda, but you got whooped.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? This is starting to become predictable. I mean, this is the sixth week in a row the Shaky Babies have gotten whooped. Six weeks in a row, the Shaky Babies. And now this is Amanda's, this is her ninth time being whooped, which ties her with Rob for the most. All right, so she's starting to set some records that she doesn't want to set. So it's probably time to turn this thing around, Amanda. But why, though? Why did you have to let it be Derek whoop you? Now he's got 13 whoopings. Derek has the most whoopings by far, 13. Levi has 9, myself, and somebody else have 8. So, man, that's a lot of whoopings, and it's by far the most in the league. But I'm not doing any player breakdowns for this one, as this was uglier than a burnt stump. Derek wins big here, 246 to 154. Levi, what is the Shaky Baby's plan to break the whooping streak? Do you have a plan?
Plan is to win. The thing is, losing, it's still a loss. It's still one loss if you get whooped. It's not a double loss.
It's not a double loss.
No, don't count. It's different. We obviously separate this from all the other losses. We hand out an award for, you know.
We're not out of it. It's just happened that way, you know. It's how things are. We're working on getting a championship. We're trying to repeat. And when we look back for this moment,
Amanda's trying to repeat.
She's not out of it yet. She's not officially out of it.
Oh, it's doing a lot of work in that sentence.
You tell me, is she eliminated from the playoffs?
No, she's not.
But like we're working with things. Things are coming at. We're the shaky baby Lions for a reason. It doesn't mean we're on stable ground.
Yeah.
But we win.
A little shaky. All right. That's fair.
Breakdown of the whoopings of the six. Who do you have you been whooped yet?
I've been my only two losses are whoopings.
And then she has. Is there each one of them got two?
Amanda's been whooped three times.
And then
Jason Levi twice. One. And Jason once.
Jason's. Oh, yeah, I forgot about
it's
that.
Not really. I mean, it's just, you know, rinse and repeat.
Some players will let her down. Ayuk got hurt.
That's the worst. The worst thing, she lost Ayuk for the year.
Yeah.
To make matters worse.
Oh, he's not for the year.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for her to start Daniel Jones from now on. I don't like.
I learned my lesson with him last year. I won't come within 100 yards of him.
We should all hold a league ceremony when he gets cut from the Giants.
100%.
Look at this. Like next week, she's going to have A.J. Brown, Cooper Kupp, and DeAndre Hopkins as her three receivers.
Yeah.
It's pretty daggone good.
And she's going to need
Higgins.
And T. Higgins is, yeah.
Yeah, so. I'd say Higgins is better than Hopkins. I would think.
Higgins is going to be the number two.
I'm
just saying, those are her four receivers. That's pretty daggone good. So, I mean, ain't like she has nothing. She's got, you know, Kamara and Hubbard.
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes, you know, he becomes, you know, her team could quickly go from, like, getting whooped every week to, like, she's whooping people.
Right. You know, like,
to go,
these
balls right.
A lot of her players are on, you know, on teams that we think are going to be playoff teams.
Right.
And they're going to get better, like, once it gets closer to the playoffs.
And that's the hope.
That's the hope.
But, I mean, like I said, her team, we'll be at the end of the year and be like, God, how does she have all these receivers, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
But you got to stop getting whooped, Amanda.
Yeah, especially to Derek.
But here, you know what? I'm going to give you one. You would have beat me. So, by two.
Oh, thanks, John.
You know, that's how bad I've been.
She wasn't the
lowest. She wasn't the lowest, and I've been bad these past two weeks. Awful.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we have last week in the rearview mirror. We've got the whooping of the week down, and now we're going to turn our attention to week eight next. All right, everybody. Here we go. We're jumping into week eight. This is the midpoint of the season. We have 7 games in the books. We have a 14-game regular season. Therefore, we're right smack in the middle. And so this week eight begins the first game of the second half of the year. And so it's going to be important if you started on the 1-5 or 2-5, 1-6 train, you're going to need to flip that script moving into the second half. So we're going to start with the matchup of the week, and that's going to feature It's What Plants Crave, who's sitting at 5-2. It's going to take on Farewell to Hope, who's 2-5. And John is 5-2 all-time versus Levi. But getting right to the point here, I'm calling this the whooping of the week. I think John's team will rebound big here in week eight. His matchups are juicy up and down the roster as he's facing a boatload of bad defenses. Add to that Tua's return, and thus the return of the real Tariq Hill and Achan, hopefully for John's sake anyway. In fact, I predicted John would drop a 300 bomb this year during the drafts podcast, and this may be the week that he does it. For Levi, just simply too many tough matchups in this one to overcome. So give me John in a beatdown, which, by the way, would be the 7th whooping in a row for the Shaky Babies. Just saying.
So you're guaranteeing?
I'm just throwing it down.
Yeah,
I'm calling my shot.
Just like John did last week.
Yeah. I'm putting it all on the line.
I nothing what you said was untrue. John has every good matchup. I have a lot of bad matchups.
Yeah.
But my team will find a way. They're scrappy.
Of course.
They're the better team. They're 5-2. Okay. They're higher in the power rankings.
Well, that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give me and this is gonna be tough. Like I just kind of hope that John's team kind of flounders. I don't think if his players play to the matchups that they're at, I don't think I can beat them. I gotta hope that, you know, they get off to a slow start.
I just want my players to finish games.
You know, be a good start.
If it wasn't past couple weeks, I would have said I'm whooping you, but I'm not doing that. I want my players I just want to win and nobody get hurt, and I get Daniels back next week. That's where I'm at with this. Just win. I don't care.
Yeah.
What you got, Luke?
Oh, John, easily. Beat down.
Beat down? Okay.
No new things to say.
Hey, all right. That's all we need. All right, so that one's down. We're going to move on. We've got the Union Brother matchup as Slop Nasty, who's 4-3, is going to take on his Union teammate, Purple Bleeders, who's also sitting at 4-3. Jeff, though, is 5-3 all-time versus Lance. But the first thing that jumps off the page here is that Lance has 5 players in his starting lineup with a questionable designation. Looks like most of them have been limited in practice and are listed as day-to-day. But this is unfortunate, as Lance has maybe the best set of matchups I've seen all year. You look at the defenses he's playing against this week. Man, that could be juicy for him. And I would expect most of his players to suit up that are questionable. But will they be limited? Will they get the same amount of snaps during game time or come game time? Who knows? However, Jeff also has some injury concerns of his own, as DK and Ingram look shaky to play on Sunday. Actually, I think DK's out. And Pittman, Aaron Rodgers, and McConkey also carry questionable designations. I think I'm taking Jeff here, mostly because his team is healthier right now, and the fact that Lance has been getting lucky all year, and I see his luck running out, so give me the slops.
I think I'm going to go with Jeff as well. This is the second week in a row where his opponent has a player with 0 points on a Thursday. And that worked out from last time. Sam Darnold got a little below his projection. I've got to be excited about that. And then Kyra Williams, you know, had another good game. So what I'm seeing here is that, you know, Lance has the wide receivers versus Jeff's running backs. His running backs are great. So I think the equalizer for me is the quarterbacks. And I think Burrow and Baker are better than Bo Nix and Sam Darnold.
Probably. That might be true. We're going to get to the Baker thing a little bit later, but I'm going to go with Lance here, and it's kind of hinging on, does ETN play and does Kittle play, which I think Kittle is more likely than ETN, but because if ETN plays, that puts Bigsby out, and does Jeff have a solid backup plan for that, you know, with DK and McConkey, which I think he's going to play, DK's out, but yeah, I think it'll be Lance. This is probably going to be the closest game of the week.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Jeff, and just because the Vikings defense scored 0.
Yes, they did, and good deal. So that is that matchup, and the Union Brothers are gonna go head to head, and we'll see who comes out on top on that one. All right, next matchup we've got is the Intoxicated All Stars, who are 4-3, taking on Victoria's Secret, sitting down in the cellar at 1-6. However, Amanda is 6-3 all-time versus Joe. But this is about as close as you can get to a must-win for Amanda. I mean, in fact, she really needs to go on a big-time win streak to get back into this thing. And it's not impossible. And she gets a decent start to the week as Cooper Kupp returns and puts up, 21 points. For him, that's modest. But for his first game back from injury, not bad. Also, this is the week. Or could this be the week that Mahomes and Kelsey kind of reconnect, put up some big numbers against the Raiders? Although, as Levi pointed out earlier, they do struggle against the Raiders typically. But she's probably going to need something out of that duo. Can Kamara do anything against the tough run defense of the Chargers? I don't know. But what I do know is that Joey has some very juicy matchups this week. Looking at the roster, Bowers, Mason, Love, and Garrett Wilson all go against bottom defenses. Jonathan Taylor's coming back from injury this week. You know, I want to pick Amanda because she needs it, and I'd hate to see her eliminated from playoff contention this early, but Joe's on a roll, has too much firepower. Give me the All-Stars.
Yeah, I feel like if we pick, like, I'm with you with the Kansas City just struggles against the Raiders for whatever reason. Luckily for them, the Raiders never go to the playoffs, so not a big deal.
Yeah.
Joey's team just like is finally like fully healthy. He's got everything going. I'm just going to try and jinx Joey, and I'm going to pick him, you know, and maybe
that could work.
That's going to help Amanda. So I'm going to pick Joey and see what happens.
Yeah, this is not a sympathy pick for Amanda. This is a hate pick against Joey since I'm 0-8. And coming off a loss to Joe, especially when I lost the player that maybe could have gave me the win. I don't like you, Joey. I'm picking her, and I hope you lose. I don't really care if she wins. I just hope you lose. You beat me.
Oh, man. I'm going to take Joe. And I feel like if this was like a real life, like if all the players were actually going against each other, I feel like Amanda would win. You know, they got the spirit like, oh, we need to win. But no, this is fantasy football. That's not how that works.
That is correct. That is not how that works. And so that is that. And we'll see how that turns out. But we've got another one to look at, and that is the Houdinis, who are 3-4. And they're going to take on the number one Cleveland Steamers, sitting at 6-1. Derek is 5-3 all-time versus Rob, though. But for Derek here, Connor, Jacobs, Kincaid, and Stroud all have plus matchups. But I think he's going to need something out of Tank Dell and Brian Thomas Jr. this week. If he's going to hang with the Mighty Steamers. I mean, he's also got a decision to make with Jalen McMillan. You know, will he play him this week with Godwin and Mike Evans out? Or will he sit him this week and see how he does? Right now, I think Derek's got him on his bench. I think he paid a couple hundred dollars for him, if I'm not mistaken, on the waiver wire. And so is he going to play him this week? That'd be interesting to see if he makes a switch here coming up to the weekend. Rob, though, has mostly neutral matchups this week, so no real advantage or disadvantage there. But he does have Davante Adams and Amari Cooper, both with new teams in their second week with their respective teams. So it'll be interesting to see how they perform as they're both vying for wide receiver one roles on their teams. And then Rashad White and Najee Harris have looked better lately, and will that continue? I'm going to take Rob here because I like his receivers over Derek's ultimately. But I think this could be the game of the week and another close one.
Yeah, I just got to pick Rob until further notice. He keeps winning, so I gotta ride with that. It's Rob keeps Mr. Magoo in it, you know. So I'm sure something crazy will happen again, like maybe Derrick Henry will eat too much food and split into two Derrick Henrys, or Justin Herbert will sprout two arms or something. I don't know. Some kind of crazy trade involving Jerry Jeudy. Who knows? But it's going to happen. And it's just going to work out for Rob. So, well, yeah.
At least you're not cynical about it.
Sure.
Are these the two best teams in the league?
I don't know.
Are the two best teams in the league. Like top to bottom.
I think you're leaving out Black Sunday, but, you know.
No, I looked at that name, and it's that's not one of the best teams, and I went to the next person.
Well, we can argue about that on a mailbag. What make your pick?
I mean, power ranking says no.
Well, then that's the ultimate arbiter.
It's not right. These are the best two lineups, I think, in fantasy football. I'm going to take Rob. Just because, I mean, he's won. He wins, but yeah, Rob, I think this is going to be the best game.
I'm going to take Rob. I like his running backs better. I like his wide receivers better. I like his quarterback better. I just like him better as a person. I just like him better as a person.
Yeah, and he's handsomer.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
He's handsomer.
More handsome.
Calm down with Rob.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on.
He's had enough.
Number one, he's getting fans. No reason.
Yeah. All right, so that's that one. That's going to be a good one. We'll see how that ends up. And lastly, we're going to look at the Black Sunday is going to take on Scoop's Troop. Both of us are sitting at 3-4. Important game for both of us. And then Jason, though, is 7-1 all time versus me. So, and it should be noted that I've not beaten him since 2019, which the first matchup we played, I actually won that game, and now he's reeled off 7 in a row. So I have a streak I need to end as well. But first thing to mention here is that Puka Nacua does return from injury last night, but Jason did not start him, and he goes for 31 points. So that could come back and bite him in this one, especially if it ends up being a close one. But this has got to be encouraging for Jason moving forward, though, to see Puka back on the field. And his team is facing some soft defenses this week, and I'm afraid that Barkley and Breece Hall might both go nuts. Now, on my side of things, I have some plus matchups as well with all of my running backs and Jalen Hurts. And then Tua coming back should help me with Jalen Waddle, who I picked up in a trade with Levi. So I'm kind of hoping that works out. And it's actually great timing with Mike Evans going down for me last week. So hopefully Waddle can be a smooth transition there and I won't lose too much. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, a fun one to watch. But I'll take myself banking on a healthy return for Waddle and big games from Chase and my running backs.
Yeah, that seven-game losing streak, I think that's too much.
We already mentioned that.
It's a lot.
Why do you got to bring it up again? That's old stuff. We're moving on to new things.
And I feel like Jason felt a little bad for you, and he sat Puka Nacua for you.
Oh, thanks, Jason.
But still, going to pick Jason. I think it's going to be 8-0.
No. Well, 8 in a row.
Yeah. 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I don't know you're who I picked off before we went on the air, but then I learned of the 7-1 being that I was ridiculed for my 0-8. 8-1.
Okay. Look at me with that maniacal eyes.
8-1. Get paganated.
You're going to get paganated.
I love it.
You need to change it back to the Faganators, man. Do it, Fagot. You can do it. You get a one-time pass to change your name. Go back to the Faganators. We love it. Luke, your turn.
Oh, Black Sunday.
Black Sunday all day, every day, twice on Sunday. I love it. I love it. I like it a lot. And we've got, man, guys, we've got some good matchups this week as the standings are, man, moving and shaking. A lot of like 4-3, 3-4 teams right there in the middle. And then we're kind of top-heavy and bottom loaded there as well. So we'll kind of see how this week shakes out, and we'll check in on the power rankings. We'll do that next.
All right, everybody, let's get into the power rankings. And I feel like there's not as much movement as last week, but still a little bit of movement. 1 and 10 are still the same, with 1 being Cleveland Steamers, and you know, don't need to worry about that. And 10 being Victoria's Secret, but like Cleveland Steamers are 6-1, Victoria's Secret's 1-6. Makes so, sense. Like, I don't see how you can put either one of them anywhere else.
Right.
We'll go at number 9. We got Farewell to Hope. And well, to get at 10, Victoria's Secret was 27.4. And Cleveland Steamers were 51.8. So, yeah, that almost double the amount of computer points for the Steamers than the bottom team. But so, number 9, we got Farewell to Hope at 30.65, which is, so that's 3 points ahead. Victoria's Secret didn't move from number 9. You've been number 9 for I think three weeks maybe, yeah, 2 weeks maybe. Week. I think
the last 2 weeks been bad.
John was number 1 at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah. You dropped from 4 to 9. Yeah. So you're 2 weeks ago you were 4 and then went to 9 and stayed at 9 again. Yeah.
Dang.
So yeah. 2 and 5 will do that to you.
Well, the last 2 weeks I haven't scored any.
Yeah. And then number 8, we got this is a pretty big jump here at number 8, 37.55. So that's almost 7 points ahead of John. And Farewell to Hope is the Houdinis. And they were at number 8 last week. They've kind of been around this. So they won, but they beat Victoria's Secret. Good margin, but like doesn't seem like computers were impressed for beating Victoria's Secret.
So, I was impressed.
I could tell.
I'm impressed with it.
I bet you were. You put them in as the top 2 team.
Yeah, I did.
Just above the Houdinis at 38.1. So that's 0.55 ahead of the Houdinis. Black Sunday. You're in 7th spot. You were the 4th spot last week, so you dropped 3 spots.
Yeah.
That being said, you're only like 7-3 is only divided by 2 points, 2.2 points. So we got pretty big logjam in between 7-3. But yeah, that you might be the biggest drop. Yeah, you're the biggest drop of the week from going from 4-7. Coming to number six with 38.8. It's just 0.7 above Black Sunday. It's Slop Nasty. Moved up from the 7 spot. So, and Jeff's been, I think he's been around the 5, 6, 7 spot pretty much all year. Trying to get that consistent winning. There's one team that's been towards the bottom that's now higher up now. So, and he moved up one, but, you know, normally after a win, you move up a little more. So, that puts you at 6. Number 5, we get with 39.25. So that's 1 point, or no, that's not 1 point, 0.45 ahead of Slop Nasty, Scoops Troops, or the Faginators.
Yeah.
They moved up one spot as well from 6-5. Let's see. Yeah, from 6-5. And you know, like, didn't get that win. Or wait, were they at 6? No, they were 3. Oh, I see. That was wrong. Sorry about that. He was went from 3-6. That's another drop. The same. Same caliber as Black Sunday. But still maintain above. It's still in the, you know, 5. And I think Scoop Troop's still fine. But the new challenger to the power rankings is in number 4 with the Intoxicated All-Stars. They come in at 39.9, 0.65 ahead of Scoop Troop. And was in the 6th spot last week. So moving up 2 spots. Joey's coming. He's getting healthy. I think if we talked about, when we ended September, we talked about, you know, who's had the best month. I think right now, if we talk about who's having the best October, it's got to be Joey.
Didn't he have the worst September, I think?
He was like 1-3 or, like you could have said he had the worst September, and now he's having the best October, other than maybe Rob. So, but he's climbing. It's getting healthy.
Whippity freaking dude.
And John is pissed.
Let's celebrate Joe's mediocre win over me one more time. No, he's definitely climbing. He's climbing. He was at the bottom, wasn't he? He rose.
Yeah, he was at the beginning of the year. He was 10th
for a while. He was down and out on the way home from Indiana one day. We were watching football. Looks like he's back in it.
We got to do better, guys. We got to keep him from getting higher up.
Yeah.
Let's start with Amanda. You got to beat him. So at number 3, at 40.35, which is 0.45 above Joey, is Team Purple Leaders. They only dropped one spot.
Can we skip this one?
I mean,
I'd love to.
I beat him, though.
I would love to skip it. Okay, never mind.
He dropped, you know, maybe it's because of his face. I don't know, sure.
Yeah, well, it's definitely.
My computers maybe didn't like his face.
Yep.
But who's to say? But number 2, 42.5, with 2.15, it's What Plants Crave. I got that 1 point victory, got back to my 2 spot, trying to get into striking distance with Rob, but I lost to him, so it's going to be tough to get ahead of him. He's got to start losing for me to move up. And he's like 51.8, so he is 9 points ahead of me.
Domination.
So, like,
yeah.
If so he loses, good. I think if Rob loses this week and I win, I still wouldn't jump him.
Yeah, I would think not.
But we'll see if that happens. It seems like the power rankings are shaking out. Not like there's some movement. Like, we biggest jump was or drop was 3, before we were, you know, moving all around. So getting pretty solid. Top six teams, the teams that the computer thinks is going to be in the playoffs is Cleveland Steamers, It's What Plants Crave, Team Purple Bleeders, Intoxicated All-Stars, Scoops Troops, and Slot Nasty at the moment. So we'll see if that shakes out. We'll get into Fab, and there was a lot of bids on individual players this week, and John ended up paying the most, and it looked like he needed to pay up for it too, getting Romeo Dubes for $221. How does it feel to spend that much money on him?
I was fine with it. You know, it's week 8. You know, my third spot receiver and all the injuries. Like, can't take it with you. So I was like, whatever, I'll drop it. I'll go after it.
Yeah. And I think that's a perfectly acceptable rate for him. Like, he's just could be. It's hard to tell who the number one on Green Bay is. It depends on how Love feels.
I'm not super excited about it, but he's thrown the most
touchdowns. So, like, yeah.
What was the second highest bid?
Derek bid 157. Yeah, nobody bid over nobody but you bid over 200. But like, Derek got 157. Joey did 100. Lance did 89. Jeff did 67.
Get off me. Yeah. Dubes is mine.
Yeah. And Joey spent $200 on Juwan Jennings.
I hate it.
I mean, nobody else bid on him,
right?
The thing is, I couldn't really bid on it because I had players that I couldn't really drop, and I had player in the IRs. Like, I was waiting for players to
come out,
either, you know, be out for the week or be good to play. So I just didn't make any bids. But if I did have a spot, I would have made a bid on Juwan Jennings. And I don't know if I would have. I think I probably, like, Joe, you need to stop betting with, like, bidding with round numbers. You're going to get bit. You got to add that
sometimes
dollar.
I'll bid. I'm like, I hope I lose. Like, I don't care if I lose.
You know,
like, yeah. I'll bid and think, well, if I get it for this, I'm fine.
For me, like, I'm like, all right, I want to bid 200. Or that's my ideal. Well, then I'll go, like, 202 or 203. Because, like, nobody, like, you can, you're okay to spend that extra dollar to make sure you get the player. But nobody else did it. I like Juwan Jennings. My problem with Juwan Jennings is that there's, like, 14 people in front of him. Like, and they have to all get injured, which they did. Yeah. So
100%.
And Derek got Jalen McMillan, who's, I guess, the number one pass catcher in Tampa, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a wide receiver,
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah,
I mean, who else is it? Kate Otten? Yeah,
yeah. Then there was a bunch of couple dollars on defenses. I'm thinking about it. Let me look at the budget summary, see how much money's been spent this year. Rob, I mean, I guess Rob's working out. He's Rob's only spent $51 the entire year.
Yeah,
like, you just got all these riches. You don't need to, you're dropping players. Like, you're making other players spend their money by dropping some of your players.
Right. Victoria's Secret, it's the opposite, though.
Yeah,
she has the most money.
Yeah,
and she's in last.
Yeah, Rob has more money than her. He has 949. Amanda has
857. Oh, okay, it's not. Well,
yeah, but it's a little tough. I feel like some teams should be spending more. Like, Joey only has $100 left, so like soon he'll run out of money, guys.
Right, but he went from the bottom to the playoff team, and he has $100.
Yeah.
Shows that it's, you know, spending your money does work.
Yeah. I think Lance has changed his strategy from the years past. He's spent more money. Like, I feel like Lance was more of a...
He's been banged up, though, too.
He has been banged up. He's had this, like... Lance has been, like, frugal. And this year, I think he's been forced to pay up.
Definitely been forced.
Jeff's in... I got 293. That makes sense for Jeff. I have 259. That makes sense. So, like, the... makes a lot of sense. There's still a lot of money out there to for people to pay out. You can't take it with you is the thing. What I'm trying to bring up, like, dupes with all the money here, like, these teams, like, how much money do you got?
442.
Like, some of these teams, like, like $300 on dupes, like, who cares? Like, right. Like, if you need a wide receiver, like, you can pay that much. But yeah. I don't know. That's my feeling towards Fab. You can't take it with you.
Right.
But any other thoughts before we move on to mailbag?
Well, one thing, and it actually happened before the waiver went through on Wednesday. I sneakily picked up Tua for $0 on Friday before. So I didn't need to spend any of my fab to get a top flight quarterback.
Hey, that's good pickup.
And I got Kendre Miller for $1. Now you may say who, but he's New Orleans backup. Kamara's got two injuries right now. He's playing through, and Kendre Miller was a rookie last year who came out of Kansas State. And like I said, I like him a lot. He's been hurt. He was hurt a lot last year, and he's been hurt. And they called him up from the practice squad. And he actually got a few snaps. I watched him run. He looked pretty good. So I stashed him away just in case Kamara happens to go down. But anyway, so there was a couple of those pickups. And then what else? There was something else here. Joey picks up Matthew Stafford and drops Worthy. That was just yesterday. And also he dropped Trey Sermon and added Cedric Tillman. I think there was actually a little bit of conversation on the text line about Tillman.
He was chatter from him.
That, yeah,
like he's got his good friends Bucky Irving and Cedric Tillman backing him up. he's not starting either one of them. Although they're gonna, or is he starting Tillman? I know he's definitely not starting Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. There's definitely some good players out there.
Yeah.
You know. We only have six spots.
I'm like.
I told Komet.
Yeah.
I'm starting waiver.
If I was Joey with injuries and such, I don't know if I'd be quick to drop Trey Sermon.
Xavier Worthy's out there if anybody wants to pick him up, too. I mean.
That's a player that Joey doesn't like.
He's boom or bust. That's why.
Because he didn't get.
He's
gonna be fine, but Joey's gonna hate him.
Yeah, I mean, those players you have to start. Like, I have to start George Pickens the rest of the year.
That's hard. I think he's way better than Xavier Worthy.
He is, but he's in that same caliber of player. You gotta just play them. Like, you don't mind the matchup. They might get zero.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I don't think you don't drop Pickens. I don't think I would have dropped Worthy. But, Joey's probably has better receivers, but.
Well, Joey was thinking Puka and Kupp's back, so he's going to pick up Stafford, which I get that. I totally get that. And he looked good against Minnesota last night, so, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of get it, but, you know, hey, if you want to get Xavier Worthy, he's out there.
So. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their own way of doing things.
So. All right. Well, we'll move on to the mailbag next.
All right, everybody, we're going to jump into the mailbag. I didn't send anything out this week. But anytime y'all ever have a, just send them to me at any point in time during the week if I forget. But we'll start off. Jeff did send in his picks, which he went 2-4. 2 out of 4 last week came in, but our parlay, we're 0-1, Jeff. But here's your picks for this week. He said he likes the Cheeseheads at -3.5 at the Jags. The Texans, -4.5 at home against the Colts. And these money lines, which is, he likes Green Bay, Miami Dolphins against Arizona. He likes Baltimore over Cleveland. And he likes Denver over the Panthers. I kind of like all four of those two as well. I think Levi and me, we're gonna both do the $5 parlay. Are you gonna put them all together?
Yeah. So what is the Green Bay minus -3.
You took the spread there. You took the money line on the Dolphins.
Money line Dolphins.
Baltimore Ravens money line and Denver Broncos money line.
Are those all favorites?
Yes. The money line. He's not taking the points. I think those win, but yeah.
It's easy to bet on favorites.
That's something I noticed last week. It was a lot of points given up, but I mean I definitely see all those teams should win. Like the line for Green Bay is a little suspicious. Like, why is that minus -3?
We were talking about it earlier. I think he got it.
It was a 4.
People were betting on Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So, not sure how. But then there was he gave a little stat about who's the quarterback at Arizona? Kyler Murray hasn't won 2 games in a row in like 3 years, or something like that. Something crazy. I was like, well, I mean, you got Tua coming back.
Call of Duty comes out tomorrow.
Call of Duty comes out tomorrow. But it's out now.
Oh, it's out now. Yeah, okay. You probably got to eat.
So yeah, he may be. So that's interesting. I'm gonna take it, the $5. I think I think Jeff's all in. I'm in on it too. I like him. But as far as the mailbag, I think we were talking earlier. I want y'all to tell me why you like Bakebo. Moving forward with him losing 2 receivers, explain that to me.
Like, he's not gonna be what he was, but like I still like him. Like, the way he throws the ball, he's got good rushing as well. Like, that's the rushing's not going to change. He's still going to get 30, 40 yards rushing. That's just 8 points there.
You think they're going to allow that to the rush when he can't throw the ball?
He can throw the ball. I mean, he threw the ball after he got touchdowns after both those players went out.
Right, but they weren't game planning for those nerds to come in. I'm not nerds, but, wide receiver 3s and 4s.
I think he's gonna be fine.
Was Bakebo at Tampa Bay last year?
Yes.
Yeah, he was there.
He was at Tampa Bay last year. Was he very good quarterback last year?
No.
And he had Mike Evans and Godwin last year?
Yes.
He's got a new offensive coordinator this year?
Yes.
Yep. So he's been doing well because of the system, I think. And I think the system will still produce first downs. I think he'll still move it. I think he'll probably Kate Otten's going to get a bump. You got Sterling Shepard there. You got Jalen McMillan. You got Rashad White, who catches balls out of the backfield. I think they'll still move the ball. Like Levi said, he's probably not going to be as effective, but I still think he's worth putting in there. If for no other reason, just bet on him. I mean, everybody's been betting against him all year, and he keeps producing. It's been shocking me too, but I think at this point you got to roll with him. And look, if he lays an egg, maybe you think about, pulling him the win next week. But
For this week, Atlanta's defense is not good.
No, that should be – I think the over-under is pretty high on that one. That should be some points there.
Yeah.
I think Bakebo is probably droppable.
What?
And I'm going to prove it to you. Who's the better quarterback, Bakebo or Matthew Stafford?
Bakebo.
You have lost your ever-living mind.
You can't compare 1v1 here. It's two different systems.
Both quarterbacks.
They're two different systems.
Don't play that.
We're talking about fantasy, first of all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's the better fantasy quarterback?
Well, okay, Matt Stafford's got Puka and what's his name? The cutback.
Right. Week 1, but Stafford had 21 points. He lost both of those. Then he had 8, 16, 7, 16, bye week, and 4. He gets them both back. He's back to Bakebo's numbers.
He's not back to Bakebo's numbers is 40.
Yeah. He got 36.
He's QB2 on the season.
279 yards.
He's been giving 40.
He don't average 40.
Close.
But like,
what is Bakebo average?
In the 30s.
A lot.
But he's got it 40 multiple times.
Right, because he had. Well, where do you think Stafford will be right now if those guys don't go down? QB3.
I mean, no. Maybe. I don't know.
Really?
He doesn't throw that many touchdowns. It's Kyren Williams. They run the ball.
Puka Nacua was amazing last year. Cooper Kupp was amazing last year. What do you mean?
Stafford was fine.
I mean,
that make sense. A guy loses his two best weapons, and you think he's going to be playable.
I'm saying that Baker is getting his points from rushing, on top of being the.
I don't think they're going to give him the rush. You think they will?
Yeah, he scrambles. Their protection is good.
Yeah, he's like averaging.
When there isn't, they're uncovered. He runs.
He's averaging about 30 yards rushing a game. That's 6 points just in rushing.
Right, but he's able to do that when he has Godwin and
he's going to be able to do that.
And he's had two rushing touchdowns.
I'm just going to stack the box.
No.
Who are you afraid of that he's going to throw to? That Kate Otten? I mean, Joey's banking on him.
He'll make it work. I'm saying he's like, I don't know, like between 10 and 15 quarterback. Right now. That's still good.
You still think he's in the top 10 or 15?
Yeah,
without those two guys.
Quarterback.
I think he could be.
Like,
I don't know. I think it's yet to be determined. But for a second. But last week, did Godwin play at all last week?
Yeah, he played up until like the last drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like the last couple drives.
Did he have any touchdowns?
No.
Who has Godwin? Derek?
Yeah.
Because Baker threw for 370 yards and 3 touchdowns with Mike Evans out and Godwin not playing a full game. I mean,
he played most of the whole game. I think he dropped them.
Like he got, but yeah. But with Godwin and Evans, which like Puka and Kupp are comparable.
Yeah.
Baker at 42, 38, 35, 45, 41.
Yeah, he's averaging 35.
You think that's going to drop to 5?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but Godwin's the number 3 receiver right now.
That's through the beginning of the year. He had like a big game.
He didn't have a touchdown.
He didn't have a touchdown.
Now, I will say this. He's got Atlanta this week, which if he doesn't do it against Atlanta, but he's got Kansas City the week after, and he's got San Francisco after that. So if his numbers drop, it's probably more to do with the defenses he's going up against.
Yeah.
Or just as much.
Yeah, he's probably more matchup dependent now for sure. But, I having Dak, I'd rather Baker without
wide receivers. You would take, if he traded you, offered you Bakebo for Dak, would you trade him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what Pat Mahomes is doing without a receiver. And Pat Mahomes is the best.
Well, Mike Evans come back.
Well, yeah, after bye week.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
At least 3 weeks.
Two weeks.
Yeah, when he comes back, yes, Bakebo becomes playable again, but I don't see why anyone would be high on him at all whenever they lose their two best players.
I'm not saying I'm super high on him. Like we said, I think he's going to take a step back. But, I mean, I think he's still going to be startable. And, I mean, who would you start over him in Jeff's lineup over Bakebo? You start Rodgers over him?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Rodgers is QB.
I think Baker still throws 300 yards.
He's going to throw 300 yards?
I think on Atlanta, I think he
can. He throw 300 yards with those two guys.
It's the system.
How good does everybody think that?
It's the system, dude.
You say the system all you want.
Well, you can deny it all you want, but he had the same. He had Mike Evans and Godwin last year and wasn't half the quarterback he is this year. You think he all of a sudden got better? It's the system he's in.
How many 300-yard games has Pat Mahomes thrown without Tyreek Hill?
I'm not talking about Pat Mahomes. I'm comparing Tampa Bay last year to Tampa Bay this year.
How many 300-yard games do you think Aaron Rodgers has had this year?
I think he's had one.
He had zero.
He got 296 or something.
294 against Buffalo.
So he had 296.
But that was he had a Hail Mary that they screwed up on to catch.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers not throwing that much, even with all the receivers.
Right. I'm saying, but Aaron Rodgers has those receivers.
Look, Jeff, if you want to give up Baker, I will take him.
I will too. Make an offer.
I hope it What I'm saying is it possible? Yes, it's definitely possible for any of these guys. What I'm saying is Pat Mahomes had a system where he threw 300 yards. He's had the same system. He lost the players to do that in that system. So he makes it work because he don't have.
But you haven't seen this system without those players yet. So you can't say that he won't continue to play well.
Tampa Bay wasn't throwing the ball to those dudes for a reason. Because those dudes.
He just lost them.
Right. What I'm saying is, but they practice every day. And they know that those two guys are more capable of getting 300 yard games than those other two guys are. Three guys.
Look, I think we're talking past each other.
Yeah, I disagree. I just think that those wide receivers are good enough for him to be fine.
Is there another system in the NFL where they can lose their two best receivers who are great? Mike Evans is Hall of Famer. Godwin borderline.
Like,
that you think could they? The quarterback is still throwing 300 yards without him. Is there another quarterback in the league? Why do you think it's Bakebo? I think you got to call Baker offense. Now. He's not Bakebo anymore.
Well, explosive offense.
Right. Name another explosive offense in the NFL. Take away their two best receivers and tell me, do they throw 300 yards?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen doesn't throw 300 yards.
That's true.
Is there another? Why is it with him it's different? Like, what's the baked in thing? No pun intended.
Well, you know, so I'm going to just throw this out there. You can scoff at it if you want, but Fantasy Pros rankings for week 8 quarterbacks has Baker ranked ahead of Aaron Rodgers by 5 spots. And those are professionals. This is a consensus of many, many fantasy nerds. And they like Baker Mayfield. Now, he's only ranked 16th among quarterbacks, but he's just behind Tua and Goff. So, I mean, and those guys, you could start those guys. So,
right now,
he's taking a step back.
Right now, going into week 3, how would you rank those 3 quarterbacks?
Which ones?
Goff, Tua, and Baker?
4, and Rodgers.
And Rodgers? How would I rank them for this week? Or
yeah, going into this week, who do you think is going to score the most points in order?
Well, I wouldn't put Tua over Baker just because it's his first game back. I mean, he may be rusty. Yeah, but he's probably got some rust to knock off. I mean, they are playing the Cardinals, which that's a good matchup for him. But
the Cardinals are a weird team.
Yeah, they're all.
Go look at what Stafford did against the Cardinals week 2 when he didn't have those dudes.
I'm not going to do that.
He had 8 points.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for telling me because I'm going to look it up.
Against that defense, he had 8 points.
I'll say this, and we can move on, but I think you could be right. I think you could be right. Well, yeah. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but I'm leaning more, and it's probably just as much of a gut than anything. I don't know. I just feel like that offense he's in. I mean, it shocked everybody this season when Tampa Bay started scoring 30, 40 points a game.
They could score that many.
Liam Cohen has been a big boost to that offense. Right. Huge boost to
that
offense.
There's no question he had, but he had the guys.
I understand that.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying he's going
to. The only thing I'm really trying to pin down here is that you can't name me another explosive offense where you take their two best players off and feel that they're just as good without them.
I'm not arguing that he's going to be just as good. That's what you keep missing. I'm not saying he's going to be just as good. He's 16th here, which I think's fair.
Like
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I think he's still better than Aaron Rodgers.
That means he's not startable.
Well, it just depends on.
But you're saying that he is. And I'm like, wow.
In our league, yeah.
16th?
Yeah.
Well, if each team plays 2 quarterbacks, then 20 quarterbacks are startable, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think everybody starts 2 quarterbacks.
I think most teams do.
But Aaron Rodgers is what, 21?
Yeah, he's 20.
Right,
20.
But he just added a piece to his. So
maybe.
You got to feel better about his situation than Baker's.
I don't know. I really don't know with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, okay. Rodgers is 4 years old and we're comparing him.
Go Dak. Would you play Dak against the Niners over him? They probably have Dak higher.
I wouldn't play either one if that was the case. If I had Baker and Dak, I'm playing Dak over Baker.
Dak's 19th in this list.
Right. So he's just ahead of Rodgers. I would play Dak over Baker.
Like, well, not according to Fantasy Pros. But, I mean, okay. Look, I'm not going to argue with him more. I mean, we'll see who's right, but I don't really care if I'm right, to be honest. You could be right. And I'd be like, yeah, okay. Hey, he didn't have his two best receivers. That obviously hurt him really badly. And I could see that being the case. But I'm going to bet on him. That would be my my take. Yeah. I'd bet on
him. Just betting on him just because of the
I explained it to you. The first, I said he's got Sterling Shepard, he's got Jalen Milne, he's got Rashad White out of the backfield, he's got Kay Otten still. I mean, Bucky Irving could get some catches too. Like, I don't know.
I think they're going to beat the Falcons.
I would.
How do they beat the Falcons?
What's the spread on that game? What's the spread on that game?
That's just favored 2.5.
Okay, 2.5. What's over under?
I bet Atlanta handles.
They might.
Like, Rashad White hasn't been good all year. Bucky Irving's been hit or miss. Like, all of a sudden, these guys are great because, like, what
over-under is 46. So, you know, they're still thinking Buccaneers are going to score 23, 24 points.
We'll see. And I guess they very well could. I'd be shocked. Like, I'm not saying Jeff's making it bad, but I'm just saying, for the argument's sake, why are we so high on a guy who loses two of his best players to where we think?
Dude, I know. You've said that 5 times. Well, I'm
reiterating what I'm arguing.
Well, I know, but it's tiresome. Like, I'm not. Nobody's going to come out of this right now.
You. I'm saying that for our listeners.
Oh, okay. Like, they hadn't heard it 5 times.
Explain, like, this is what I'm saying. Like,
all right. Now, that's interesting. No, it's a good discussion. I mean, I think it could go either way, frankly. I mean,
I don't know. I need to look up his prop
Yeah, that's interesting too. Yeah. I'd like to see his props.
You should bet the under.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet. You should. That's what I'm saying. That's my
You should bet the under.
No, I'm saying.
You think he's going to stink?
What I'm saying is there's no way that I would have a positive evaluation of Baker Mayfield to do anything with him. Because I would not do that for anybody else. That's my whole thing. Why is it that people are high on Baker and it's okay the system?
But again, we're not high on Baker. Nobody is sitting here. You're not getting that through your skull. Nobody's saying he's going to be a top 10 quarterback this week. We're just
he did.
It was like 10.
Well, he said kind of borderline.
10 to 15, yeah.
10 to 15, I think he said. And 16 is where the fantasy pros
have it. That's the reason I brought it up, because I was like, y'all were high on Baker? I was like, what?
I think he's a startable quarterback.
Okay. That's the only reason I brought it up. You're like, I don't know what he's going to do. Then I would be like, okay, that's
I like. I think Atlanta's defense not good. And I would play Drake May against Atlanta's defense. Wouldn't you?
Did you play him over Dak?
I think about it.
That's probably more of a... You're just not high on Dallas, period.
I mean,
you own Dak.
I haven't
dropped him. Like, there's a reason you haven't dropped him.
I can't, but...
You could pick up Drake. No, he's out.
No, he's picked up. He's starting this week.
That's fine. I mean, he's a rookie. You don't know what he's going to do. Not saying that he can't do these things. Big Bo can't do these things. He surely can. I just don't know why you would have that. Any kind of positive. But maybe he's awesome.
I think it's maybe more Atlanta to me.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, I would say I'm optimistic on Baker, just the way I've seen him play.
And we'll see, and it's fun to see.
So the passing props for Baker is 225 yards plus is -120, 250 yards plus is +160. So they're thinking he's going to land between 225 and 250 yards.
Yeah.
230, 240 yards, which is a good game. I mean, that's a fine game. That's decent. I mean, passing touchdowns.
He's been getting the touchdowns, is what's been getting him.
Yeah, it's still a bunch.
And I don't think he'll get as many just because Mike Evans is like probably the best receiver you want for like a red zone play.
Yeah, no question. Mike Evans is awesome.
But
no, Joey disagrees.
And, Baker Mayfield, they're saying that he'll have one plus touchdowns -450, so that's a pretty good bet. He's going to have at least one. Two plus touchdowns is +120. So they're probably looking at anywhere from one to two touchdowns, 250 yards, 240 yards.
Probably over-under's 1.5.
Yeah. So 240 and a touchdown, not excellent, but not terrible. And then 30 or 40 rushing yards on top of that. I don't know.
What's his rushing problem?
I'm not looking it up.
It's probably like 24.
Yeah, it's probably, it can't God be much more. That's fair. All right, we have any questions?
No, I have no questions.
No questions. All right.
If we would like, I have this little thing. I saw this. It was I saw this somewhere.
It was like a NFL like higher lower power rankings, and it's like, you know, he's higher or lower, you know. And so I'm just gonna say a few people here and see if you guys know who's higher and who's lower. See y'all's. Now this is the fantasy. This is the fantasy. They're like the official fantasy power rankings for week 8. I don't think it's just for regular, not for 0.2 points. You have to keep that in mind.
So standard score.
Yeah, standard score. Okay, so. Is Jared Goff higher or lower than Brock Purdy?
Higher.
Lower.
Is lower. Yeah. Is
he loses his two best receivers and he's going to be better? Another example of we get high on guys who lose players.
I don't know, man.
That's just you're low on Dallas.
With that Titans defense.
San Francisco's playing Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but the Detroit's playing against Tennessee. You don't really score that many points against them. You don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy that. Give me Jared Goff over anybody that loses their best players.
Fair. Is Amari Cooper higher or lower than Davante Adams?
Ooh, I must.
Buffalo's playing against.
Is
it Cincinnati?
Seattle.
No. Seattle.
I'm gonna take Cooper. Higher.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper. Davante Adams playing New England.
Yeah, probably Cooper.
Yep, Cooper is higher. Okay, is Kenneth Walker higher or lower than Kyren Williams?
Well, Kyron's already played, but I think Kyron would be higher. Would be my pick.
Probably a push.
I go Kenneth Walker because both those run defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Surprising. Okay.
And finally, is Sam Laporta higher or lower than Dalton Kincaid?
Lower.
That's a tough one. I mean, Kincaid hasn't been done much. But neither is Sam before.
He's got one game. Kind of disappointed.
Yeah, 150 yard touchdown. I'd probably push. I couldn't pick one.
Yeah, Sam before is higher.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good. Cool.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, I didn't even do the all thief thing on it. I'm going to do that.
Want to catch that next time?
Yeah. There was a couple of them. But yeah, that'll do it for the mailbag. I'll try to remember to send stuff out. But yeah, that'll do it.
Yep.
All right, Chaos Fantasy Hooligans. We now enter week 8, which marks the beginning of the second half of the season and is a good time for some fantasy managers to hit the reset button after some struggles during the first half of the year. The power rankings show a logjam in the middle of the standings, representing an opportunity for some teams to break through the top of the league. And stay tuned to the Tampa Bay Atlanta game this Sunday to see how old Bake Bowl makes out without his big time weapons. I'm sure we'll check back in on that one next week. But in the meantime, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.